Breeze has the sign he wants. Breeze waiting. The 1-2 and a fastball hit to right field. Going back is Cruz, and it is off the wall. It bounces back toward the infield. Pujols scores. Bergman scores. Breeze in the third. It's tied. The pitch and a swing and a little blooper drops into center for a base hit. Jay will come in to score. Pujols around to third. On the single by Bergman, they have tied it again. Breeze leading it off. Crowd in a frenzy. 3-2, a swing and a high fly ball. Center field. Most remarkable, improbable baseball games you will ever see. And there's going to be baseball here in St. Louis. Game 7 tomorrow night.
Here in St. Louis, we still get goosebumps when we hear Dan Shulman's calls of Game 6 of the 2011 World Series. The Cardinals were 10.5 back, Michelle, on August 29th that year. This year, it was August 10th that they were 8.5 back, and now they lead in the wild card race. And Dan got a chance to see a lot of the action in that wild finish for the Cardinals, and he's with us now on the Brown & Crouppen Celebrity Line. Dan Shulman, Michelle Smallman, Randy Carricker, great to have you with us. Great to talk to you, as always. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well. That brings back some very fond memories for this broadcaster guy. That was fun.
I'm glad it does for you, and it does for us. And we wanted to have you on because the Cardinals are going to have the 10-year reunion of that squad this weekend. And I remember I said, Dan, on my birthday, August 19th, I said the Cardinals have zero chance of making the playoffs. They are out of this. And it was logical, right? They were 10.5 games out of first. That was just an amazing run that we really haven't seen.
It's amazing how things like that happen. And you know, I saw it in 2015 in Toronto. The Blue Jays were kind of going nowhere, made trades at the trade deadline. Tulowitzki, David Price went on an incredible run and made the postseason. And it's one of the beautiful things about baseball. The season is so long that the way things look in May and the way things look in July and August can be a lot different than the way they look in late September and, in the Cardinals' case, in 2011, late October. But, you know, that team had a great core. I mean, there was Pujols and Molina and Holiday and Berkman and Freeze, obviously, and Chris Carpenter. I mean, there were some great, great players on that team. Yet, you know, if Nelson Cruz makes the catch, I'm on a Dallas radio station right now. So, you know, that's the margin of difference between winning and losing in the World Series sometimes.
Dan, one thing that always sticks out to me whenever I go back and watch that game was just how bad of a game it was before things started to get going. There was a ton of errors, and it seemed like it was going to be over and done fairly quickly. So what was that like for you as it unfolded from going to a game that was kind of stagnant and a little sloppy to what we know now is one of the greatest postseason games we've ever seen?
Right. So when I think of that game, I think exclusively, to be, you know, perfectly honest with you, of the 9th, 10th, and 11th innings. So you guys, as people who are much closer to it than I am, and being in St. Louis and following the Cardinals and on an everyday basis, I think you remember a lot more about the first 8 innings than I do. I know it was high scoring. I know it was sloppy. I know they traded leads back and forth, but I think Texas was kind of in front for the most part, and then, you know, St. Louis got into it late and obviously tied it in the 9th and tied it in the 10th and then won it in the 11th. So, but when I think about the game, I think about Freeze's triple, Hamilton's homer, Berkman's base hit, Freeze's homer. Those are the four moments that jump out. I mean, you just played three of them, obviously, the three St. Louis ones. You know, people forget outside St. Louis, people forget Berkman's base hit. And, mm-hmm. and again, you know, if Berkman doesn't single in the 10th, Freeze can't win it in the 11th, obviously. And people totally forget. I think a lot of people totally forget that Hamilton hit, I think it was a 2-run homer, right, in the top of the 10th inning.
Right.
And so, again, if you're a Cardinals fan at the moment, you're probably saying, oh, God, now there's no way they can come back again. So I don't remember a lot of detail early other than there were a lot of runs and it wasn't pretty. But everybody just remembers how it finishes. And to be honest with you, it's probably, whether it's TV or baseball, college basketball, TV or radio, college basketball or baseball, that game is probably my favorite experience as a broadcaster. And I've been lucky to do a lot of stuff. That was my first World Series for ESPN Radio. And I remember the next year thanking David Freese and saying, I know this was pretty big for you, but it was kind of fun for me too. So thanks a lot.
That's incredible. Dan, it's funny because game six was so wild, so improbable, so exciting, so dramatic that game seven is almost a throwaway. The game the Cardinals actually won the World Series is almost a throwaway here in St. Louis. So take me back to that night after you left the ballpark after game six. Did you feel like the Cardinals winning game seven was inevitable?
I don't know if I would go as far as inevitable, but, you knew they had Chris Carpenter on the mound, if my memory is correct, and you knew they were at home, and you knew they had momentum. So, yeah, I was definitely leaning in that direction. And one of the strange things about baseball is more often than not, it seems like Game 6 has been the game that we all remember, for whether it's 1975, whether it's 1986, Kirby Puckett, right? Was that 1991? That was game six, mm-hmm. I think, Jack Buck, and we'll see you tomorrow night, whether it's 2011. And often game seven can be, not always is, but can be anticlimactic. So I remember being exhausted. We were staying at the Westin right across the street from the ballpark. You guys know it well, and which is one of the many, many reasons that all of us loved doing games in St. Louis. If our bosses would put us at the Westin, we could walk out of the broadcast booth and be back in the hotel 45 seconds later, which was awesome. So I remember walking across the street and being drained, like just exhausted from calling game six. And then I remember my boss, John Martin, calling me and saying, don't do any talking over the next 18 hours. Don't do any radio interviews. We need your voice tomorrow night. So that's the only thing I remember. He basically said, don't leave your room. Don't do anything. But I remember thinking, yeah, I'd be surprised if Texas could win it. But I didn't look this up. I think Texas scored first in game seven, but then it was Cardinals the rest of the way, if I'm not mistaken. And it was pretty one-sided.
That's right. Dan Shulman of ESPN with us on 101 ESPN. Dan, did you have something to add there?
No, go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
We use the word epic a lot in sports. And when you look at that playoff run, one of the memorable games that St. Louis fans have is game five against Philadelphia in the NLDS. It was Roy Halladay against Chris Carpenter, and the Cardinals score on the second hitter of the game for Kyle Triples to start things off, and then Skip Schumacher doubles him home. And then it was Carpenter and Halladay, and it was unbelievable. Carp went all the way in a 1-0 victory, and he had actually gotten on the bus after the Cardinals had won game four and told Gerald Laird and Nick Punto, he said, guys, you give me a run, we're good. And lo and behold, they get him the run in the first inning. And the game was so draining for those two. They put so much into it, and they were older pitchers. But neither Carpenter or Halladay were ever the same after that game five in the NLDS.
So what I remember, I was not on that series. I don't remember which division series I was doing. But I remember listening to some of it and watching some of it. And the other thing that struck me, I guess I have a bit of a different perspective on that game as being a Toronto person, as you know, Randy. Mm-hmm. So I knew Chris Carpenter and Roy Halladay like when they were kids, when they came up to the major leagues with the Blue Jays, got to know both of them very well. Roy Halladay was a very private, introverted person. Chris Carpenter, I got to know much better than I did Roy, but I remember watching that game, and I'm sure every Torontonian or Blue Jay fan or Canadian even watch that game with a sense of, man, those two guys started with our team, and now look at where they are. And to see them go out and both pitch so well, and as you said, they were older by that time. They both broke in the late 90s, so they were older pitchers. But there was a kind of a different perspective on that game if you were from where I'm from. So I always thought I loved Chris Carpenter. I mean, I love both of them, but I loved Chris Carpenter. I always enjoyed the time that I spent with him, and always thought he had that big game mentality and that toughness and that exactly what you said, get me a run, boys, and I'll take it from here. And it was a sensational game. And again, it shows you how narrow the margin can be between winning and losing, that they got taken, to the limit by Philadelphia in the division series. and had to win as tight a game as you can.
Hey, Dan, before we let you go, how do you feel about this year's Blue Jays leading that American League wild card right now? And they've been red hot and they've been hitting the daylights out of the ball.
They have been. They're a fascinating team. I said on the air last night, I bet you if you had a poll and said, hey, everybody, like all around baseball, who's your second favorite team? I bet you the Blue Jays win in a landslide. Like everybody's got their favorite team. But I think a lot of people look at the Blue Jays and go, wow, those guys are fun. Vladimir Guerrero, Bo Bichette, et cetera, et cetera. And they can hit. You know, the funny thing, Randy, is they should be, if not in first, like right on the Rays' heels. They had such an awful stretch in the middle of the summer where the bullpen blew a ton of games, and they've kind of fixed it late in the year. But they're in it's really fascinating. They're in a three-team battle for two playoff spots, and they're battling with the Yankees and the Red Sox, three division rivals. And only two of them are going to make the playoffs. So it's going to be hard. You know, there's some Baltimore left on the schedule for everybody. So those are almost guaranteed wins. The Blue Jays have three with the Yankees, but they're done with the Red Sox. I feel pretty good about their chances. I think they're playing better than the other two teams. But, you know, in 16, 17 games, anything can happen. I hope they make it. They're really fun, and I think people around the U.S. would love seeing them in the playoffs because they are really enjoyable to watch.
They really are. Dan Shulman, it's always great to hear your voice, and we always appreciate you taking the time to join us. And it'll be great to hear you on 101 ESPN in October again. And hopefully, cross our fingers, we get to see you here at Busch Stadium.
That would be great. I have not been to St. Louis in a couple of years. I would love to get back.
All right.
Thanks for the time.
Daniel, have a great day. See you later. That is Dan Shulman, ESPN.